Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara Lama Dal and Lama Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of the Rashir Esrog HaKatan. So we're in the middle of the Mishnah. The Mishnah had a lot of different dinim over here. So now the Mishnah is continuing with the halachas of an Esrog. And the Mishnah says, Shir Esrog HaKatan, what is the smallest amount of a valid Esrog? Rabbi Meir Omer Ke'egles. Rabbi Meir says it's the size of a walnut. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ke'beitzer. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's the size of an egg. So that's the shear, it's a little bit bigger. The gadol, and what about the larger shear? We saw this already also. Kadesh yochel shnayim biyado. The size of which one can hold two of them in his hand. We mentioned that the reason is because someone has to hold the esrog and the lulav. It has to be enough to hold them both in one hand. That would make sure that someone who's lifting them in the wrong hands, he takes the esrog in the right hand, in the left, and he switches them over, will be able to do so without it falling and having the not having the esrog break and become puzzle. So that's a gzeirah d'rabbanan. That should be the size. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, afilo achad v'shtei yada. Rabbi Yossi says no, it doesn't have to be that shear. Rabbi Yossi doesn't have any maximum shear for the size of an esrog he holds. That you don't have to worry about the fact that it might fall and it's going to break. So he holds that there would be no maximum shear. Okay, now we're up to the Gemara turning out the Lamed Hamad Aleph. Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa pre Eitz Hadar. The lashon of the pasuk is pre Eitz Hadar. So again, we're just like we've tried to analyze based on psukim how to derive that an esrog is an esrog. So too over here, we're going to do deriving that an esrog is an esrog. As we mentioned a few times already, in the name of the Rambam, that all of the Gemara knew esrog is an esrog from the fact that there was a mesorah, that's what every year the one that I took was the one my father took, the one my grandfather took, the mesorah out of Moshe Masinai. So that's the reason that we know that it's an esrog. But we're just trying to figure out if you can already figure out from psukim that these are correct dalad binim. So that's what the Gemara is doing right here. Also, pri eitz hadar, eitz shetam, eitzo per yoshave. It's a tree whose wood and its fruit are tasting similar. Because the pasuk says, instead of just saying, why don't you say pri hadar, a beautiful fruit. So why do you have to assume pri eitz hadar? The fact that it says eitz, that's apparently being meramis us, is telling us that it's alluding to the fact that the tree and of the hadars has its itself into the type of kind of fruit and tastes like its fruit. The wood of it tastes like its fruit. Havimar ze esrog, and that is the esrog tree, because unlike other fruits like a lemon or something like that, the outside and the inside and the cores is very significant, and that's what we're talking about over here with regards to the eights being similar to the time of the eights and the pre being the same. We mentioned that it's a little bit difficult to understand the Gemara earlier when it quoted this same pasuk about the hadasim, that this was seemingly what made the esrog unique. And it was mentioned that the Ritva Ad Kedekach was so bothered by that. I think it was the Ritva took out the girsa of the one by hadasim, because this is something that is unique, as we know, to the esrog tree. So the Gemara asks, "Ema pilpulim?" Maybe we're referring to peppers. This isn't a reference to the common peppers that we eat, but rather peppercorns. So the Gemara is wondering, maybe this is referring to peppercorns. Why? Kedusan, as we learn in a brisa, Rabbi Meir Omer used to say, the pasuk says that when you plant any tree, and the velarsim of the orlo, that for 3 years, I'm giving a brief quote of what the pasuk is. So these psukim are going to tell you that it's usher to have the fruit for the first 3 years. I don't know that we're talking about a fruit tree. Obviously, I know that it's a fruit tree. So the Gemara says, Maya Talmud Lomar Eitz Maichal. So meaning, obviously, we're referring to a fruit tree over here. What else is going to be usher? So it's clearly referring to the fruit tree. The food is extra. So what's the word of a meichel over here telling us? So the Gemara says, Matamar Eitz Meichel. The food tree is teaching us, Eitz Shetam Eitzo Per Yoshava. It's coming to include a tree that the wood and the fruit taste alike. This is referring to Orla over here, and which is a Havimar is a Pilplin. So we see that Pilplin has this Geder, the peppercorns over here, they apparently have Eitz Per Yoshava. So that Geder of Pre Eitz Hadar might work for these peppercorns. Lamdachash Pilplin Chayavim Ba'Orla. We learn that Pilplin are going to be Chayavim Orla. And I may have thought, Rashi points out, why would I have thought that maybe they're not going to be Chayavim Orla? Because I would have thought that they grow on like a very low bush, and therefore it's considered a vegetable rather than a tree. The gedder of what's a vegetable and a tree for Hilchos Brachos is a little bit complicated sometimes. So over here also, maybe I would have thought the peppercorns aren't going to be chayav, and this usually the same gedder for Hilchos Brachos is the gedder for what is going to be chayav in Orla as well. So that's a question over here. Lam d'chashav people in chayav in Orla ve'in Eretz Yisrael chasera klum, and also teaching Eretz Yisrael is not lacking anything. Shneimar lo sechzar kol ba'am, nothing's missing in Eretz Yisrael. This is is talking about planting fruit trees, these peppercorns. It's teaching us they're not liking any, even these peppercorns are in Eretz Yisrael. So we have everything. So we see over here, again, that these peppercorns taste like it's fruit. So why don't maybe assume that the pasuk is referencing to these specific fruit as opposed to the esrog that we know? So the Gemara says, no, hasam ishum deloefsha, because it can't be that this is what you would use for the esrog, because you can't use it. Why? Because hefti navid, what are you exactly going to use for these peppercorns? Nikto chad, are going to take one pepper kernel that's tiny? So migra lakicha, so what are you're taking like a little tiny peppercorn that's not going to be something that even people have noticed that you're using. Nikta treya plus, are going to tell you you're going to take two or three kernels, but that's a problem because it says pre etzah, which we learned out, everyone agreed that there was one esrog. Nobody said that there's a different amount of esrogim. Everyone agreed there's only one esrog. Pre achadam arachman evaloshnaim ushosha peros, so kach lo efshar. So it only says one. It only says one. So therefore, when it comes to these peppercorns, it can't be that's what you use for your esrog. It must be the esrog that we know. Okay, so the word now says Rebbe Omer, the bracelet continued, and said Rebbe said, Al tikri hadar, don't say the word of hadar, rather ela hadir. Hadir is like an animal pen. So we're teaching you that there's something that's this animal pen is something similar to a esrog tree. What's similar to an esrog and an animal pen? Ma dir yesh bo gedolim miktanim tmimim balei mumin. Just like an animal pen has large animals, has small animals, it has good animals, it has, you know, they're perfect animals, and has animals with a bowel movement, they have blemished animals. So hacharam yesh gedolim miktanim tmimim balei mumin. So too with regards to something unique to an esrog tree, that an esrog tree has large fruits, it has small fruits, it has perfect fruits, it has blemished fruits. So the Gemara says, but that's something that's similar to only an esrog. Atu shar peros leisbu gidoylim uktanim tamimin ubali mumin. Is it really true that other fruit trees that don't have this? Most fruit trees, Rashi points out, like an apple. An apple has small apples, big apples, large apples, and blemished apples. You get that by most fruits, probably also. But Rashi just brings the example of apples as being something that's for sure something similar to that. So the Gemara says, okay, what did Rebbe mean? No, rather, Elah, Gemara. This is what Rebbe meant to say. Ad shaboy ktanim adayin gedolim kayamim. That the tree is similar to this concept of an animal pen, from the fact that when the small fruits of the next year are coming, the large ones are from the previous year are going to still be in existence, as opposed to other fruits. Most other fruits that when you have the end of the time of the season is over, and then what's going to happen is that they're going to fall off the tree. This is something unique to an esrog, that it could be left to grow on the tree for several years, and the larger fruits are going to still be there in the second year, or third year, after the first year fruits are still only beginning to sprout and beginning to grow. So we see over here that this is something unique to an esrog, which doesn't exist by other things. Most other things, when the season's over, they will fall off the tree and become rotten. That's something unique to an esrog that doesn't have that, and that's what's a reference to that's his reference over here to a deer, to an animal pen, that you have older animals and younger animals. So too, by an esrog tree, you have these older esrog trees with the younger esrog trees. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba Omer, I'll take rad a hadar ela hadar. So it's interesting. Here is it's the same vowelization, but it means two different things. Hadar, meaning we know hadar usually means beautiful. Don't say hadar from the lashon of beautiful. Rather, hadar. Hadar is to live somewhere, right? Hadar. Where do you live? If what to dar, where do you live? So Gemara says, davar should dar be ilanu mishalan shon. It's teaching us it's something that lives on its tree from year to year. So it's a very similar explanation as we had before in the name of Rebbe. But the difference over here is just, is it hadar in the lashon of dwelling, or is it hadir the lashon of being like an animal pen? But they come out the same, that it has to be from year to year, that you have more than that the fruit itself is growing from year to year. So the Gemara says the next part of the braisa, benazei on. I'll take rihadar ella idur. Benazi says a little bit differently, that don't say hadar from the lashon of beautiful, rather idur. Idur meaning what? Shekim lashon yivani korin lamayim idur. That in the lashon of Greek language, idur is called water, and it's teaching us something specific about how it's grown, how an esrog tree is grown. We know that an esrog tree has to be grown with a lot of water. Be'ezo hi shegada alamayim, which tree that grows, and it's not enough to just not enough to just rely on the rain that you're going to get from that season. You also need to make an irrigation system that it'll should grow properly. properly. Avelmer is an esrog. The esrog tree is unique that it requires both rainfall and irrigation. Apparently, most other trees do not require this. It's something unique to an esrog, and that's why it's referenced to Idur over here is a language of Greek. This is an interesting thing. Lachora, maybe we see from over here that the Torah is alluding to something that is from Shivim Lashonos. Lachora, it's something that's not referencing. We know that there's the 70 Lashonos are merumas in all the Torah. The Torah has already within it different hints to 70 different languages. So this Lachora may be one of them, that this Lashon is referring to a drasha based on the Greek language. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara discusses Shel Asher v'Shenadachas Pasul. The Mishnah quote, recording from the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that an esrog from an Asherah or from Iranidachas is going to be pasul. The Gemara says, "My taima, what is the reasoning that this is pasul?" So this is very the same exact thing that we had by a lulav. Kevan de la Sreifakai, when an esrog is supposed to be burnt, ketute mechtas shiurei. So then again, we mention again because something is an iser hanah. We say mitzvah lav la'enos nitnu. So that shouldn't be enough to tell you why this is pasul. So we're saying no, it's because it doesn't have the shear. Something that's supposed to be burnt is considered as if it doesn't have the shear, and therefore it's puzzle to use it. So I was wondering this question, and I got very excited. There's a new sefer that, at least new for Eretz Yisrael, maybe in America, came out earlier. They have the sefer of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Chidushim on Maseches Sukkah. So I wish I had this earlier, but I started today, and I'm probably going to go blin edim. I mean, I would imagine they're very geshmak ha'aretz. They have probably two or three that I mentioned in today's daf. But, so probably most dafim will now include Rav Moshe Feinstein's aretz that I, if I were to look at the aretz over here. So he asked the same question. I was very excited. So why don't we ask this question by Hadassim and Aravos? Why only by, we asked it by Lulav, we asked it by Esrog. So Rav Moshe wanted to answer that really Memela, when it comes to a Lulav, a lulav is part that doesn't mean ravos are like under the category under the framework of a hadassim because you do the eged with it and you bind them together. And we also know they have the same shear and they're from the same inyan. So therefore, the gemara doesn't have to mention it by hadassim and ravos as opposed to an esra, which is something that's different than it's not ogedinbo and you don't bind them together. Maybe there it would have a different din. That's why the gemara has to mention this halacha also by an esra. Okay, so next part of the mishnah v'shel ashera psula that an esra from Orla, sorry, not Asher. Fashela Orla is pasul. So from an esrog from Orla is going to be pasul. So says the Gemara, my taima. What is the reason? Why is it pasul from? Why is it pasul from a Orla? So the Gemara says, Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabbi Asi are going to. They're arguing about it. We don't know who says what. The Gemara is going to come on later and tell us, try to figure out who said what. But we don't know right at this point who said what. And the Gemara says, Chad Amar one said, Lefi she'in b'heter achila. Then esrog is not mutter. Because you can't eat it. And once I can't eat it, Rashi tells us, it says, lekachtem lachem, and therefore, it means that you should take for yourself. And so that means to understand that yourself means that you should be able to do anything you want with it. If I'm not allowed to eat it, that's a lacking of lachem, because lachem means I do it. If I own something, I could do whatever I want in the world with it. If I can't eat something, then it's lacking, that it's not mine. So Rav Moshe also asked over here, he said, a more pashut understanding is lekachtem lachem pri. What is it? It says pre. It says as a fruit. What's the definition of a pre? Something I should be able to eat. If I can't eat it, how is that called a pre? It's a lacking of a pre. And the Perush Mishnah the Rambam actually explains like that. So Rav Moshe thinks it's more pashut to go. He thought that was a more pashut understanding of why and you need to be able to eat the esrog. But either way, that's what Gemara says you need to be able to eat. V'chadamar lefish ein ba din mamon. There is no din mamon on it. Besides the issue of eating all, there's also you're not allowed to have any benefit from it. Since I'm not have any benefit from it, so it's not valuable. So if it's not valuable, then it's not considered lachem. How is it considered mine if I can't even do anything with it? It's not valuable. So the fact that something is mine is not going to be what's significant about it's mine. It has to be worth something. So if it's not, it's lacking in lachem. So it could be that's why Rashi wanted to say that both of them are under the same rubric of lachem, and that's what they're really arguing about, what different parameters of lachem. But that's what, either way, that's the machlokas Rashi and the Rambam Perush Mishnah. So the Gemara continues, kasaka daita. So now we wanted to assume manda by heter achila labayitin mamon. The one who requires that the esrog has to be mutter to eat does not require the owner to be able to have this din mamon, to have to be able to have the monetary ownership over it. The one who says that who requires the owner to have the fact that he has the has some value to him, the money, so then that he's not going to require it to be eaten. So we're assuming that they're arguing on the definition of lachem to two fundamentally different understandings over here. So the Gemara says tnan. So we learn in the Mishnah shel truma tmeya pasul or psula, that when the midst of an esrog, why is an esrog of truma tmeya psula bishlam alaman damar lefishin v'heter achila? So now the one who says that there's no reason that you can't eat it, that makes perfect sense why truma tmeya is not going to be allowed to be used on Sukkot, because Shapir, because it's you can't eat it, and it's Truma Tmeya, it has to be burnt. The din of a Truma Tmeya, you have to burn it. So if I have to burn it, I can't eat it. So Gemara said, L'ma Damar, L'fishin, but Din Mamon, but according to the one who says that there's no Din Mamon over it, there's no money, so however, Hamayat, there is worth something. Hari Mesika Tachas Tavshilo, as Rashi quotes, phrase something we're in Shabbos, we learned out that you're allowed to burn Truma Tmeya. We learned from the Pasuk, Titein, Lo, the Oro, Bechlau, the Bas Oro, that you're allowed to burn it. That's what Gemara learned out from over there, from Sukkot, that the Gemara in Shabbos learns out that you are allowed to burn it. So if I'm allowed to burn it, it can be used as fuel. It actually probably it can be worth something. I can even sell it for some from right to be able to burn it. And lechora, that should it should be a mutter to use such a. It has a din mamon, so therefore it should be heter on sukkahs to use it on sukkahs. So the Gemara says you're right. So the elul beheter achila kliyama lo pligi debeinan. So rather, we're now have to assume that all the amorayim, everyone's going to agree that you need to be able to eat the esrog. So the question is, do we include within that also the idea that you need to be able to have the din mamon? Ki pligi be din mamon. Do you also, besides the heter achila, do you also need to have it to have the din mamon? Mar savar heter achila. So according to one man, the Amar, we say that we do require that the esrog has to be permitted for eating, but we don't require that it has to have a din mamun. Umar savar din mamun nami ba'inan. And the other one says that you don't have to have a din mamun over it. You just lachem just means that it's yours and you have birshusa, as Rav Moshe points out. Rav Moshe says that it means it's birshusa, that if something is mine, if it's in my rishusa, I don't need to have a din mamun necessarily to make it lachem. It's in my rishusa, it's enough to assume that it's lachem. So Gemara says, could we bring an afkamina by benayu? Is there a practical difference, halachic difference between them? So could we find a practical case between them? Gemara says, yes, we can. Eke benayu meister sheni v'yushalayim. What's going to be the din with meister sheni inside of Yerushalayim? Aliba derav Meir, but specifically according to Rav Meir, because there's fundamental machlokas Rabbi Meir and I think Chachamim, that with regards to the nature of Meister Sheni, is Meister Sheni Mamon Gavohu or is Mamon Hedyodu? Is it like Kachim? Is it like Hektesh when you bring it to Yerushalayim? It's not yours? Or is it Mamon Hedyodu? Or is it your property? You just have a Chiyuv to eat it in Yerushalayim with many different Nafkaminas. And this potentially is another Nafkamina. Because according to Rabbi Meir, if you assume it's Mamon Gavoa, then it's not really going to be yours. So according to one who says that there's no heter achila, hare yesh heter achila, but here you can eat it. Because since I can allowed to eat it, even though it's not fully mine, it's in my possession, but it's mamon gavoh, it's considered, so to speak, it's in a certain form, it's like hektish, it's like mamon gavoh, it's Hashem's mamon, hare yesh heter achila, but I'm allowed to eat it in Yerushalayim. So then maybe inside Yerushalayim, it would be mutter according to Rabbi Meir. However, leman damar lefishein batin mamon, but it doesn't have any monetary value. So again, we pointed out according to Rabbi Meir, maiser sheni mamon gavoh, according to Rabbi Meir, he holds that it's a kodesh baruch hu, it's not yours, since it's not necessarily, not that it's not yours, but it's literally mamon gavoh, that the money value is of Hashem, meaning, so to speak, you can't sell, you can't do things with it, so therefore, that means that it's not really, I'm lacking in lachem, so according to them, they would hold that it's going to be puzzle. So the Gemara says now to stayim, so now we didn't know who held what. So now the Gemara wants to assume that we can establish between Rabbi Barav and Rabbi Asi, who held what. The Gemara says to stayim, Rabbi Asi da amar lefish in ba din mamon. L'chor Rabbi Asi is going to be the one who says, because there is no din mamon over it, da amar Rabbi Asi, because Rabbi Asi said, esrog shel meister sheni, with regards to esrog of meister sheni, the divrei Rabbi Meir ein adam yotzei chavaso biyom tov. With regards to Rabbi Meir, you're not going to be yotzei with an esrog of meister sheni on yom tov. The divrei chachamim adam yotzei biyom tov. So as according to chachamim, you would be yotzei. So lechora, we're assuming right now that Rabbi Asi is the one who says that lechora, it's you need the din of mamon, because he's assuming that according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't have a din mamon, and therefore you're not yotzei biyom tov. So the Gemara says, right, testayim, that actually is a valid proof, and we could assume from here that Rabbi Asi is the one who says that you need a din mamon over the esrog, and that's the issue, that the psul that you have over here with regards to the esrog. So now the Gemara continues gufa. So we're going back to analyze what we just said before. Amar Rav Asi esrog shel meister sheni l'divrei Rav Meir einam yotzei chavasa biyom tov v'chamim adam yotzei chavasa biyom tov. You have an esrog of meister sheni. According to Rav Meir, you will not be able to fulfill obligation on Sukkot with it. With regards to chachamim, they'll hold that you will be able to fulfill the obligation because they hold. Oh, I didn't point out the reason chachamim said it clearly before was because it's mamon hedud. It's yours. So since it's mine, there's no lacking of lachem. And I'm allowed to eat it. So what's the issue of using it? Matzah shel meister sheni with regard to matzah of meister sheni. According to Rabbi Meir, I'm not going to be able to fulfill my obligation with Pesach because it needs to be mine. The Gemara is going to ask them that in a moment. Whereas Chachamim would say that since it's mine with regards to Meister Sheni, so then lechora I'm allowed to use it on on Pesach Abiyotzi my mitzvah. So Gemara says Isa Shema Isa Shina, same thing with dough of Meiser Shina. What about the dough? Lidivra Meir Peturim and Chala Peturim Meir. This is another Afkamina about Mar Mohedet Mamu Gavoa. It's going to be Pater from taking off Chala. Divrei Chachamim Chayeves Bechala, because when it comes to Chala, Rashi says Dechziv Ariso Seichem, and Ariso Seichem means that it's yours. If it's Hashem's, then it's not yours. So therefore, you don't need to take off Chala with regards to Meiser Shini of Chala. That's Machlokas Chachamim and Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says now Maski Flor of Papa. Rav Papa asked a question on this. Bishlam Issa. I understand with regards to an Issa, as we're just going to mention, Ksif Rishis Ariso Seichem, as we just mentioned, that the drush is going to matter, that it has to be yours, implying the challah needs to be taken from yours. If it's not yours, you don't take off challah. So then I understand why Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim would argue about this with regards to Meister Sheni, because whether it's yours or not is going to be a fundamental machlokus. However, Esrog Nami, and Esrog also, I understand Ksif Lachem Mishalchem. Lachem is a reference to Yushal Lachachem Lachem, which is assuming in all Dalaminim, that implies it has to be yours. Elamata Miksiv Matzaschem. So where do we learn anywhere that matzah, I need to have it to be mine. So the Gemara says, Rav Bar Shmuel, V'timur Rav Yemar Bar Shlima, Asya Lechem Lechem. Lechem Lechem. That we're learning out from the fact that it says, Xer Shava, the words of bread and bread. Ksiv Hacha Lechem Oni. By matzah, the Pasuk says it should be Lechem Oni, per person's bread. A different halachas of the toy, break it. Right? Different halachas of Lechem Oni. Uksiv Hasam, with regards to the Lechala, turning on to the next time. But now, it says the pasuk vayaba achachem lechem aretz should be that when you eat the bread of the land, ma lahalim mishalchem velo mishal meiser, just as there I'm obligated separate challah from yours, but not from meiser sheni. Avkam mishalchem velo meiser sheni. So therefore also ozel zayiver with regards to matzah should be yours and not should be from meiser sheni. So the Gemara says lema misayele, we should maybe bring a proof from the brayso that supports Rashi's understanding. Isa shal meiser sheni p'turim min challah, dough of meiser sheni is exempt from challah. Divrei Meir v'chachamim chayav zechalam, chachamim said that it's obligated in challah. So the Gemara says lema misayele, lechora this is why he the brayso is exactly what Rabbi Asi is trying to prove, that if it's not yours, you're lacking in the fact that it's not fully yours, and you're not going to have to take off challah, and also would not be yours with regards to the halacha of matzah. So the Gemara says, Ella, the Braisa is going to be supporting Rabbi Asi, that assuming Rabbi Meir Chacham disagree concerning the Chala. However, we're going to assume, since they disagree about whether Chala applies to a dove from Meister Sheni, Bahanami Pligi, they also disagree whether an Esrog or Matzah Meister Sheni is allowed to be used. That would be the problem over there. Al Dilma Shani Isar, maybe perhaps, with regards to a Chala obligation, that applies to a dove from Meister Sheni is going to be different to Amar Kra, Risu Seichem, Trezimim, because it's specifically, it should be yours twice. Maybe that's why the time of the Braisa is understanding that according to Rabbi Meir, Meiser Sheni might be excluded, but regarding to the Esrog obligation, which the Torah says only once, it should be Lachem, maybe over there, according to Rabbi Meir, Meiser Sheni would be Mutter, therefore that's why Rav Asi was Mesupak Bedavar. We see over here, though, a very important thing, though, or we see from over here, this Fasemes points this out, is that that at the end of the day, everyone agrees that really that matzah should be lachem. The only shiloh is the Meiser Sheni in this category of lachem or not. So everyone agrees that it should be lachem. So lachora, it's davar pashat that you have to have a kinyan on the matzah before it has to be yours. So all the time, people go to their in-laws or go to different people's for yantiv for the meal of the leil seder, and they don't kona the matzah. So he's wondering why is that? Why is it the olam is not nizar on this? And he says tarach lefarish tam minagol, and why people aren't careful. The Gemara seems to be pretty clear over here that everybody would agree. The Chum would agree as well that at the end of the day, that I need to be koneh my matzah. Even the Chum agree with that principle. They only disagree with Meiser Sheni because Meiser Sheni is mine. But they agree fundamentally the matzah needs to be mine. So Rav Moshe suggests maybe that the guest is going to be koneh the matzah when the Baal Achsanya knows nolo. So that when he gives it to him, he should be koneh it. So Rav Nemetzel still suggests that a person, remember, Rav Nemetzel suggests that everyone should do a formal kinyan of it, even on Yantav. That on Yantav you should like do Akbah, pick it up, that it's yours. And then it should be, so Rav Moshe says maybe that when the Baal Chasan is giving it to him, when the person who's staying by is giving it to you, that's still going to be, it's going to be considered lachem, potentially that type of thing though is not fully yours, maybe not legal in Makadosh Nishar, Moshe points out, but still maybe enough for this purpose that it is lachem, that is considered, it's considered yours. So now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, so now the Gemara continues, Shel Truma Tmeya Psula, an Esrog of Truma Tmeya is going to be Pasul. So the Gemara says, the late Bay Heter Achila, because the Esrog is not allowed to be eaten, as we mentioned before, that's the fundamental Psula with regards to an Esrog, it has to be able to be eaten with Machlokas Rashi and the Rambam, why that has to be, but that's what the Gemara assumes, that you have to be able to have the Esrog. So the Gemara continues, Vishal Truma Tahora Lo Yitel, with regards to Truma Tahora, you shouldn't take it, but if you did, it's going to be Kosher. The Gemara says, Pligi Be'ar Ravami Verbasi, Chadam Rabnei Shemach Shira, because when a person. So why is there an issue with Truma Tahora? It's allowed to be in, granted by a Kohen, not necessarily by everybody, but it is allowed to be in. So the Gemara says it's a Machloka. So one says that when I'm taking it, I'm now making it susceptible to Tumah by making it wet. There's a concept that a person... there's a machshirin to something to the pasuk says that when it comes to the pasuk says v'chiyutan mayim, which we don't know of drashas, but hilchos tumah v'tara. One of them is that when something only when you wanted the water to go on it, that makes it wet. That only then is the food going to be susceptible to tumah. So the Gemara was assuming that Rashi points out that they used to earlier times people used to take the lulav and always put it back in the hadassim eravos. Used to put it back in and out of water constantly every day to make sure it doesn't dry up. So they used to do that every day. So then it's still going to be a little bit wet when you took the lulav and the hadassim eravos. And since they were still a little bit wet, the water was then going to go on the Eshog, and now it's going to make it susceptible to Tumah. We're afraid that we're talking about Truma over here. Truma is an Isser to make Truma Tameh, so we're afraid, lest you come to make your Eshog susceptible to Tumah. The Chad Amar Mnei Mafsida. The other one says, no, you use your esrog all 7 days, and you're going to ruin the esrog, and no longer could eat it anymore. Now you'd also, there's an iser to make truma non-edible anymore, and make it and to be mafsid truma. There's an iser to be mafsid truma to ruin truma. So that's what's going on over here, and it can come brown and things like that. It's not going to become its most lechatchila edible state. I remember once I was in the coastal, I had a very long davening on Chol HaMoed, and it was very hot out. And I came back, my esrog literally changed colors. So definitely, if it's out a long time in the heat, it definitely could ruin your esrog. So the Gemara continues, what's an afkamina? Maya binaya, what's an afkamina between the two of them? The Gemara points out, kegon shikara la'ashem chutz miklipasach itzona, where you establish, you want the truma to be an entire esrog except for the outer part of truma. So the Gemara says, according to the one who says that it's usher to take the esrog truma, because you're making it susceptible to tumah, so then the Gemara says, Ika, so you're going to have that concern over here when the outer peel is not tumah, because when the peel becomes wet, the entire fruit is now going to be susceptible to tumah. Lamad amar neishim mafsida, but according to the one who said that the Mishnah says as usher to take an esrog because you're going to spoil it, Leika, here there's no concern when the outer peel is not tumah. You're not ruining any tumah. The tumah is only inside, not outside. That would be an afkamina. Now the Gemara continues, v'im natal kshira, if you took it, it is going to be valid. Lamad amar neishim in baheter achila, according to the one who says because it is permitted to be eaten, harayesh heter achila, because you can't eat truma that's tahor by a kohen. A kohen is allowed to eat it, and since a kohen is allowed to eat it, and he's allowed to give it to his family, he's also allowed to. You have the right to give it personally to the kohen that you wanted, and that would be mutter. And also, that would be the heter. So that right makes it that it's yours. There's a din mamon by it also, because you could, a truma that was given to a kohen is his, and he can use it to mikadosh a woman. If the kohen also gives it to Yisrael, he also can sell it to other kohanim. So therefore, it has the din of mamon. It has halachic monetary value. Vishel demai. Demai we mentioned is dab mai. What is this? Meaning that you buy something from an ama aret, somebody who is not someone who's not so careful with truma samaisa. So you don't know truma gedolah. Usually, assume that does take off, but with regards to Meister Risha and Meister Shani, we're not sure if he took it off. So we're wondering over here if it's tevel, something that's tevel, you're not allowed to eat it. So then it doesn't have heter achila. But this is a suffix if it's tevel or not. So the Gemara says that really, according to Beis Hillel, it's going to be kosher. But Beis Hillel says it's puzzles. The Gemara says, "My time to Beis Hillel. What is the reason of Beis Hillel? Why do they tell you that it's going to be mutter over here?" The Gemara says, "Kevin to ibay mafkelu nechasei v'avei ani v'chazi le'ash nami lachem karina bei." So what's going on over here is that we mentioned that since we're not sure, it's not tevel. Tevel means you definitely didn't take off truma ma'aser. That's an iser deoraisa. It's an iser misa b'dei shemaim, I think. If a person eats tevel on purpose, b'mezid. So now this is not that. This is a suffix where the Gemara actually mentions in other places that rova me'aretz masrin him. Most people would actually take off truma ma'aser. So it's a rov telling you that. But since there's a certain percentage of people enough that was something we should make a gzira that did not. So we're afraid over here that maybe this guy didn't. So really, there's some heters like that over here. Also, that when it comes to poor people, so the fact that poor people are allowed to eat mai, they're allowed to eat lechachila. They don't have to take off trumas and maizros. They don't have to take off the extra maizor rishon and maizor sheni, which would normally be done in a normal circumstance for people buying from amaretz because of the fact that they're aniyam. The chazal made a takan over here to allow them to eat it without having to take it off. So then a person can say, I mafkir all as nechasim at that point, and then that's why if a person like on a derech and he has nothing to eat, so then he's allowed to eat mai. why also the Mishnah doesn't pay a talk about it. So here also, so that's what we're assuming. So since it really has a heter achila, that's why fundamentally it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara explains why does Beis Shammai disagree? Beis Shammai ani lo achil d'mai. According to Beis Shammai, they actually l'shitasim, they hold that a poor person is not allowed to eat d'mai. The Mishnah tells us in machlin es aniyam d'mai v'sachsan d'mai. So there really shouldn't be any. Should be machlin is what we do. That we're allowed to. So the Gemara says, "V'amar Rav Huna Tana Beis Shammai." No, that was the sheet of the Beis Hillel. So the Bechor should be not in. Sure, the Machlin, the Beis Shammai Omrin in Machlis and the Son of the Ma'aser. Beis Shammai says that you don't. You're not allowed to. Beis Hillel Omrin and those also traveling soldiers. That's the second in Machlis. Beis Hillel Omrin Machlis and Beis Son of the Ma'aser. Really, fundamentally, comes down to: is there any heter achila for Demai? Beis Shammai Beis Hillel hold that there is, so therefore it's going to be kosher for Yisro. Whereas Beis Shammai hold that there isn't, it's never going to be kosher for Yisro. So Gemara continues: Shal Ma'aser Sheni should be Shalayim. What about an Esrog Ma'aser? That's inside Yerushalayim. Lechachila, don't take it. But if you did, it's going to be good. The Gemara says, "Lamad Rav Neshe Machshira, Rei Machshira." By using it, you're going to make it acceptable to Tumah. That's the issue over here. Lamad Amar Rav Neshe Mafsida, with regards to spoiling it. So also, with Freir Mafsida, you're going to be Mafsid it. So that's why both of them would work out over here. Why there's a Gzera Lechachila not to use it by Meiser Sheni. So the Gemara continues, "Vim Natal Kshira." But if you took it, it's going to be Kasher. Lamad Amar Rav Neshe Ein Vahetar Achila Divrei Akol. Everyone's going to agree Meiser Sheni is going to be Kasher. Even our mayor is saying Meiser Sheni is Mama Gavah. He's going to consider Esrog valid since it's mutter to be eaten, so therefore it's going to be mutter. But according to the one who says it didn't do mammon, so then it can't be that this Mishnah is saying ve'im natok share. According to Rav Meir, rather how money this Mishnah must be rabbanan. It must be the shita of the rabbanan and not that of Rav Meir. So that's what we're going to point out, that can't be that of Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, also chazizis, if you boil a rose on the majority of the Esrog, it's going to be possible. The Gemara says, Amar Fista, there was a Rabbeinu HaGadol Amar. This was, my teacher Rav told us this. We had this Gemara already. And he says, B'makom Yav Ezra, Hashem should be with him. Lo shana el b'makom echa. This is only taught with regards to if the balls are in one place. Aval, b'shar shal makom, so if it's two and three places in the Esrog, it's going to be kosher. The Gemara says, what do you mean? Amar Avleo, Rava, Ad Rava. On the contrary, B'shalem Rishol Shal Mekomos, Avelaikim Numer Apostle, that it's going to be spotted Esrog, it's going to be totally possible. So Gemara says, El Itmar, Asif Itmar. Rather, if you're talking about the latter cause of Mishnah, then this is what's teaching us. Al Me'utu Kasher. The boils arose on the minority of the Esrog, it's going to be kosher. Amr of Chisda, to which Rav Chisda said on that, Davar Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amr, this, my teacher Rav told me, Amakum Yabba Ezra, Loshana Lamakum Echa, this is only taught with regards to one place, of Abishnaim, or Shoshana Makumas, have like Minumar Apostle, that if it's spotted in the Esrog in multiple places, that it's like a spotted Esrog, which is lacking beauty, and it would be puzzle. So the Gemara says, Amr Rava Al Chotmo, Afilu Mashu Nami Puzzle. If the boil is on the literally the Chotim is like the top of the on the top of the by the pitom area, then it's going to be a fil mashu nami pasul. Then even a little bit, it's going to be pasul. Any blemish there and above is going to be detracting the esrog beauty, and it's going to be problematic. That's why we're extra careful not to have the bletel up on the towards the top over there, especially by the chot and by the nose. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we will pick up with nitla pitmo in tomorrow's daf.